Praise God. We are going verse by verse through the book of Romans, and we are in the second half of chapter 8 to the letter to the Romans. This is a really foundational work, so to speak, that Paul put to paper and really explained the basics of our faith. The basics of salvation and Christianity. So I have several different versions of the scriptures, and one of them has a heading for this section called "The Spirit-Enabled Life." That I have something called the Jewish Annotated New Testament, where they not only have the scriptures and the New Revised Standard Version, but they also have a lot of notes. And so this is the heading of the notes there for this section. And let's begin in verse 18 here. We'll read along here. It says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation," and we should say the whole of creation, all of the universe, "waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Let's stop right there for just a few minutes. The sufferings of this present time. Here in the United States, we don't suffer too much for our faith. Most likely, the battlefield for most Christians in the United States is in the mind. The thoughts that assault us, the media that assaults us, the ideas that float around in society that are adamantly opposed to righteousness and all that God would have us to believe and know and love. Gesundheit. Those are the things that, in my opinion, it seems assaults us here in the United States as Christians. How many would agree with that? That it's the battlefield of our mind that we have a lot of problems with. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the helmet of salvation and to plant the Word of God deep within us. Hallelujah. But I like how Bishop J.B. Phillips puts this, verse 19, "The creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Listen to how he puts it. Now, he is a British scholar, and he translates it this way. "The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own." This is not only a future event, the revealing of the sons of God, but I believe this is also for our day-to-day living. Can you say amen? That God wants us to come into our own, so to speak, as believers in Jesus. And of course, we know that when it talks about the sons of God, it just doesn't mean men. It means all the children of God. Amen? Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. He writes and he calls us beloved. How many know we are beloved? Amen? What a wonderful thing to know that we're loved by God, that God's not mad at us. Amen? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now. Everybody say now. 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 We are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We've been adopted into the family of God by placing our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Amen. Here's another scripture that I like the way J.B. Phillips translates it. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, talks about working out your own salvation. God has given you a proper sense of awe and responsibility. Let me repeat that. God has given us a proper sense of awe and responsibility. It's an amazing thing. You know, in the book of Psalms, David writes, he says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of us, God? You made us a little lower than the angels. Why would God pay attention to us?" is basically what he's saying. And that's what's so awesome. The God who created the universe pays attention to us. Amen? He knows how many hairs are on top of our heads, and for some, it's a little easier for him to count. Hallelujah. But he's given us a proper sense of awe and responsibility. For it's God who's at work within us, giving us the will and the power to achieve his purpose. How many know God has a purpose in the earth or on the planet here? It's so amazing to think about the immensity of the universe and that only on this little speck of dust compared to the rest of the universe is human life. And only here on this earth is where God focuses his attention and his love. The whole universe. How many have ever heard of the anthropic principle? All of the universe, the entire universe, all the laws of physics, everything is in place for the specific and only purpose of sustaining human life on planet Earth. If anything was a little bit different, it would be all over. But God, the creator of all of this, has made it so that here on earth is where he focuses his attention. So we have a future hope that the sons of God will be revealed when Jesus returns, but we also have a present hope, a lifestyle focused on Scripture, and also keeping in mind that someday we're going to stand before God. No one has control over the day that they're born, and no one has real control over the day that they die, unless you take things into your own hand, which you shouldn't do. Amen? We have trouble in this life. In Colossians chapter 2 talks about conflict that Paul had. We have trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 33, Paul lists, like I think the notes I read said there were 17 different problems and difficulties that Paul the apostle faced. Because we're living in a limited human bodies, we have our spirit, the Holy Spirit, which wars against the flesh. But being in Christ, we're free to live according to the values of the age to come. Being in Christ. So there's only two descriptions before God. You're either in Adam, which we saw earlier in the book of Romans, or you're in Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And we are in Christ the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. Excuse me. Praise God. Now, let's get looking at this one here. The whole of creation is on tiptoe, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is subjected to, in the Amplified Bible, vanity, futility, frailty or weakness, and frustration. All of creation. Can you guys feel that sometimes? It's like, God, I know there's more to this. There's something else that I'm missing, God, and I'm reaching for it, and I'm longing for it. And I know that it's there, God. And I'm asking you, God, reveal it to me. And I believe what Paul's saying is all of creation, the entire universe is like that. Man, we're on the threshold. When are we going to break through? How many are with me? How many are getting that? That sense that I know something bigger is going on here. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Paul's preaching, and he says that Jesus has gone to heaven until the times of restoration of all things. The restoration of all things. When Jesus paid the price on the cross and said, "It is finished," paid in full, he paid the ransom for the entire universe to be redeemed and ransomed from the power of the enemy. God has spoken through all of his holy prophets since time began that this Jesus who's gone to heaven is coming back and will restore all things. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We have the hope of eternal life, living in a kingdom that will never end. We have a hope that we're going to be living in a kingdom that is totally righteous. Nobody will steal from you. No one will lie to you. No one will cheat you. Amen? You won't have to take people to court. You won't have to call the police. Praise God. There was great revival in Wales. They called the Welsh Revival. There was such great revival that the bars closed down, that the police officers were laid off because there was no crimes. That would be wonderful. You know how many people have been murdered here in Tucson this year? I forget, but quite a few. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 9 says these words, and this is why God is waiting. The heavens and the earth, which now are preserved by God's word, and they're reserved for fire. Man, if you read it, Peter describes and says, "All the whole universe is not going to be judged by water like under Noah. It's going to be judged by fire." Amen. And God is waiting patiently, not willing that anybody should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, God promises, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." It continues, God says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them in this life." Amen? Hallelujah. And in verse 21, which would be the next one. Let's look at verse 20. The creation was subject to this problem here of futility, vanity, frailty, and frustration, not on its own, but because of him, God subjected it in hope. Now, to me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm not God, so thank God. Amen. Why would God do that? Make creation subjected to frustration? The reason is, right here, is this little word, because he made it that way in hope. In verse 21, and the hope is that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption or decay. Amen? How many have ever heard that saying, rust never sleeps? Oxidation occurs. You cut an apple and you leave it out and it turns brown. You make some guacamole with that from avocados, and if you don't put the seed in there, it gets all yucky. It's subject to decay. Human bodies get old, amen? We're subject to decay. But praise God, the time is coming. And the hope is that we will be set free from this bondage to corruption, and we will obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. And then he goes on to say, and we know that all of creation is experiencing these birth pains. I got a subscription on YouTube to Daily Events Worldwide. The first thing they do is Mike from Daily Events Worldwide, let's look at our sun, see what's happening on our sun. So the sun goes through 11 or 12 year solar cycle. It goes from solar maximum to solar minimum. And at solar maximum, you get a lot of sunspots and storms and stuff. And wind comes from the sun and hits the earth at a million miles an hour and puts pressure on the earth. And it's just amazing to watch just our sun and all the activity. Oh, wow, look at this. Now we're looking at, this is LASCO 3 satellite, and wow, look at this, watch this, as you see on a coronal mass ejection of all this stuff coming off of the sun on the backside. Good thing it went that way, because if it would have hit the earth, we might have had a blackout somewhere. So it's just mind-boggling that the whole universe is groaning, saying, God, what are you waiting for? Come on, God. God is waiting, not willing that any should perish. And this is the hope that we're going to be set free from this bondage of corruption and obtain freedom. Hallelujah. Victory. A lot of times I remember years ago, preacher would be up there and say, how many have got the victory tonight? If you don't have the victory, you can have the victory by the time you leave this church today. Amen. We have the victory anyway, in spite of circumstances, no matter what's going on, because we're rescued from the tyranny of change and decay. And as Bishop Phillips puts it, not only that, the glory of the children of God, he puts it this way, we're going to have a share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, God says, behold, I create, or I will create, a new heavens and a new earth. And this is reflected also in the book of Revelation. And the former things shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Hallelujah. God will wipe away every tear. Amen. Hallelujah. No sorrow in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go on to the next. Oh, by the way, the pains of childbirth, thank God that they don't last forever. I was there when my wife had my son, and it was her fourth child, and we had a midwife helping, and my wife's wonderful sense of humor, she said, oh, there'll be blood everywhere. She said, you look so scared, I had to tell you the truth. No, it's not going to be that bad. But fortunately for my wife, she was not in labor for very long. It was pretty quick. But, man, she screamed, and I thought, oh, gosh. Praise God. Anyway, so all of creation is groaning. Hallelujah. Screaming, I'd say. Not only creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We, praise God, those that are born again. Hallelujah, the first fruits. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. He who has prepared for this us, for this very thing, is God. And God has also given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment or a guarantee. Amen. How many of you ever remember that Christmas song? Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. I love one of the verses. It says, you know, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining until the day, until the appearance of Jesus. And the words that strike me are the thrill of hope. Amen. I don't know about you, but I really don't get thrilled with hope, but that's what we should be, amen? That we have a hope of eternal life, that we have the hope of a kingdom, a government that will never, ever, 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 ever fade away and disappear. The Romans thought they'd last for a while. Hitler's Third Reich was supposed to last for 1,000 years. It only lasted for 117 days or something, who knows? Praise God. But our kingdom is going to last forever and ever. Verse 25, it says here, this hope, in this hope we are saved. The hope is the redemption of our bodies. Amen. Because that redemption means that we will have glorified spiritual bodies, the Bible says. There'll be no pain, no sorrow in heaven, no sickness. Hallelujah. In this hope we are saved. But if you see what you hope for, is what he's saying here, what do you hope for it anymore? You already have it, but we don't have it yet, so we still hope for it. We hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, to imitate those who by faith and patience inherit the promises. Some of the promises are for now in this life. Some of them are for in the next life. There is only one next life. There's no such thing as reincarnation. If reincarnation was true, the world would be getting better, but it's not. Amen? Hallelujah. And then let's go on to Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And stop right there for just a second. We, in this present time, we're limited by time, space, and matter. So there's limitations to what we can do and how we operate in the kingdom of heaven. Once again, Bishop Phillips translates, the Spirit of God maintains this hope and helps us in our present limitations, or we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us according to the will of God. I like that. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, intercedes. This, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he who searches the heart is God. Amen? And God knows, and it's kind of scary that God knows our thoughts. Amen? So we have to be careful what we think. But this is wonderful. The Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints. And who are the saints? You and I. Everyone who's placed their faith and trust in Jesus. Everyone who knows Jesus as their personal Savior is a saint. Matter of fact, Friday was Halloween. It used to be a religious ceremony. Now it's a demonic thing, in my opinion. But Saturday, November 1st, was All Saints Day. And this is for the official saints of major religion, that they meet all the criteria and blah, blah, blah. And so yesterday they celebrated all the saints. Today's All Souls Day. But I don't see any difference between the souls and saints, because when you believe in Jesus, you become a saint. Amen? And if you either you're a saint or you ain't. Amen? Praise God. So where were we? The Spirit, he searches the hearts, and he intercedes for the saints, who are the believers, according to the will of God. Not only are we believers, I had somebody confront me. He said, oh, I've studied all the major religions of the world, and Christianity's not real. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you just believe. He says, I know. Oh, really? Well, believing in Jesus is the same thing as knowing Jesus. John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 10, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know the Father and the Son whom the Father has sent. You know them personally, amen? That's salvation, that you know Jesus. And we get to know him better by reading his word and praying, because the Spirit prays, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, some people, and I agree with this, in the next verse it says, we don't know how to pray. Wait a minute. Oops. Here we are. First, sorry, got ahead of myself. We do not, whoops, wrong button. There's the pointer. We do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes. This word here, intercedes, intercedes. And we'll see it again. Jesus intercedes for us. Hallelujah. But let's stay right here for a minute. How many have been praying and you get to the end of your prayers and you know you need to pray more, and you don't know what to say? You don't know what we ought to pray for. Well, first of all, some things will be very helpful is to make a prayer list. As a matter of fact, I just received in the mail 10 calendars for 2026. If anyone would like one, they are from the Voice of the Martyrs. By the way, today is the Voice of the Martyrs National Day, or International Day of Prayer for Martyrs, for the persecuted church. But every day of the week is a name of a nation, and what to pray for that nation for the whole year. So if you would like one of those, let me know, and I will get you one. So that's one of the things that helps in prayer, is to have a list, excuse me, or a guide. But when you run out of words, and you have that groanings too deep for words, what do? I pray in tongues. Just like Paul says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. I don't know if that's the case here, but that's what Paul said. So when you're praying and you run out of words, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. It's praying in tongues. Praise God. So I don't know what I'm saying, but I know and I believe that the Bible says I'm praying the will of God. Now, where were we? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily. However, we have boldness or confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near, therefore, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. The Bible gives us assurance that God hears us and God answers. Amen? It also helps to keep a record. If you prayed for something and you got an answer, you can always look back and say, you know what? God did that then. God can do it again. Just like we prayed or sang that song, I'd love to see you do it again, God. There's a story about Billy Graham when he was a young man. He was on a tour, and I forget whose house they were in, but it was a famous evangelist from way back when. And this famous evangelist house was a museum now, and they showed the tour guide showed everybody where this famous evangelist prayed. The floor was worn out from his knees, and the group went on to the next room. And the next room, and then they discovered Billy Graham was not with them, and they went back to the room where the man who owned the house had prayed, and there was Billy Graham praying, God, do it again! God, do it again! Amen? God, do it again! I hear that there's in the news that young men are starting to turn to Jesus in this country, hopefully throughout the world. And I pray, God, do it again. Touch our youth, God. Give them that holy dissatisfaction, God, with the way the world is going, so that they'll call on Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Where were we? Now we know. I love this. We know. And there, this wonderful word in the whole Bible is and. God is not done, and he's always got and this, and that, and something else, amen? There's always something more in the kingdom of God that we haven't got yet, but we will get. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In the ESV, J.B. Phillips translates it, moreover. How many of you ever use that word, moreover, in your conversation? This is a British thing, moreover. Amen. Moreover, we know that to those who love God, who are called according to his plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. The NIV says, we know God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good. And the Amplified Bible, it says, we are assured that God is a partner with us. New American Standard Bible says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And we have great example of that with Joseph being sold into Egypt by his brothers and being able to tell them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How about Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14? He says, my imprisonment has furthered the gospel. All of the palace guards in the praetorium know about Jesus because of my chains. And not only that, everybody in Philippi, he wrote this from the Mamertine prison in Rome. Everyone in Rome that believes, they're more bold to speak about the things of God and to tell people about Jesus. Because Paul was imprisoned. Can you imagine? Every 4 hours, a new guard comes and gets chained to Paul. Why are you here? Well, I've told people about the resurrection from the dead and the promise and the surety of that. Can you imagine the guard saying, really? The resurrection from the dead? I've never seen that. Never heard heard of such a thing, raising from the dead? That would be awesome. Yes, and here's the guarantee, because Jesus rose from the dead. And so Paul gets to preach to all of the guards. He's got a captive audience. It's like, I'm not in prison, you are. Praise God. We know all things. Remember in verse 18, he says, he began by saying that, you know, there's problems in this world, but they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And here he is in prison. No big deal. Praise God. We know everyone who is called. For those who are called according to his purpose, God's purpose, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is an issue with some people about predestination. Oh, God knows who's going to be saved. Yes, that's true. But the design of God and the purpose of God is that everyone be saved. Amen? That's God's will. That's God's desire. That's the predestination. God wants everyone to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It's up to us to respond. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, hopefully they answer. Those he called, he justified or made innocent or righteous before God. Glorified. As the Jewish annotated New Testament says, this word justified, it means basically as good as done. Amen? God has done what no man could do. By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh. Not only that, he reconciled us to God through his sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he will look upon his suffering and be satisfied. Amen? Jesus paid the price, hallelujah, for all of us. It's as good as done. God's plan and design is for us to spend eternity. His purpose is for every soul to spend eternity with him. One of my granddaughters asked me, well, what are we going to do in heaven? I said, I don't know, but the Bible says we'll be in the presence and the fullness of God and we'll experience his love completely and fully. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Amen? Because I've felt God touch me at times, and I wish, you know, once we get saved and God touches us, that we could feel that euphoria all the time. I heard one pastor say, you know, if when we were praying, it was like sticking your fingers in the light socket there and getting zapped, you know, then people would pray more, you know. It doesn't work that way, though. Sometimes there are seasons when God draws back, and you can't sense him at all. And it's kind of like him saying, well, let's see what you're going to do. Let's see. And even though he knows the outcome, but we're not God, and we're not in eternity yet, so we have to struggle sometimes here on earth. Hallelujah. But we want to cooperate as much as we can with God's design, because he makes us innocent. He reconciles us. And he glorifies us, and this glorified means it's as good as done, it's guaranteed. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the deposit, the guarantee, the down payment. Amen? Hallelujah. What then shall we say to these things? It's like it's almost a challenge. What can we say to these things? Can you still hear me? Praise God. If God is for us, who could be against us? If God's for us, everyone might as well be with us. Amen? Because when you remember Jesus said, you know, if the world hates you, don't worry about it because it hated me first. And, you know, what was the other one I said, you know, when they put Peter and John on trial and one of the rabbis gets up and he says, you know, leave these guys alone, Because if what they're doing is from God, we don't want to fight against God. If what they're doing is not against God, it won't last. But if it's from God, we don't want to be fighting against God. Amen? Amen. God has graciously, this is the goodness of God, He did not spare His own Son, but graciously gave Him up for us all. Will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You bet He will. God's the best dad in the world, amen? In the universe, He knows what we need. He knows what's good for us. Hallelujah. The Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary calls this little section here strong consolation. God is trustworthy. We can trust God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Peter begins his salutation, and then he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace of God displayed in the cross, which gives us peace, let it be multiplied to us in the knowledge of knowing God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowing Him who called us by glory and virtue. This calling has resulted in us being given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or strong desire or covetousness. So we've escaped, amen? And not only that have we escaped, but we've been given great and precious promises that God has actually put His nature in us. As Bible Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I pray, God, open our eyes to see that more and more, that Christ is living in us, that we could be so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit that people will come to us and ask us about the things of God and salvation. Amen. We want to be a sweet-smelling odor to those who are seeking God. Hallelujah. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 33 and 34, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who's going to accuse us? Well, the accuser of our brethren, for one thing, amen? Who's going to accuse us? Sometimes our conscience will accuse us. Hallelujah. But the enemy will accuse us. Maybe people will accuse us of wrongdoing. But we're living for God. God is our defender, our interceder. Christ Jesus. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. And when He died, He condemned sin, but He was raised from the dead. And now He's at the right hand of God, and indeed He is interceding. This is the third time that word is here. He's interceding for us. I told Natalie the other day, Natalie, do you know Jesus is praying for you? She didn't know what to say, I guess. Jesus is praying for us. Hallelujah. He's our defense lawyer. Only Christ Jesus can justify us. And J.B. Phillips says, the judge has declared us free from sin. The judge has declared us innocent. Amen? Hallelujah. What a glorious and good God. He's interceding for us. And then, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who would be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Or Mr. Dake's commentary says, he translates this, it could be translated, who or what will stop us from loving God? Amen? Who can stop you from loving God? You can stop yourself, but that would not be a wise thing to do. Amen? Nobody else. Ever hear that saying, a man convinced to go against his will is of the same opinion still? Paul, the apostle was fully convinced, completely persuaded. Amen. And I told somebody one time, I said, you know what? You're a smart person. When you get saved and you really are persuaded, no one ever will ever be able to change your mind once you know Jesus as your Savior. I saw a sad story the other day. Three famous evangelists who became atheists. They gave up on God. I had doubt. So, kicked out in the butt and just believed God. Amen? So what if you have doubts? You have questions. That's what the Holy Spirit's for, to lead you and to guide you and I into all truth. Hallelujah. Who or what will stop us from loving God? Who will separate us from the love of God? How about these things? Tribulation? Anybody have tribulation? I used to have on the job a lot of people, some of my coworkers were not very nice, not very happy. In fact, one time we were carpooling to a job and the driver said, you know what? So I was witnessing to one of the other passengers. He said, I don't want you driving with us anymore. Really, why not? No, I just don't want you in my vehicle. Okay. I know why. Another time, I got laid off from a job and found out later that the superintendent didn't want me on his job. There was no other reason. I was doing my job well. We were making progress. But for some reason, he didn't want me on his job. And I'm pretty sure I know why. Praise God. Not long after that, he got fired. Anyway, tribulation, troubles, monetary troubles, relationship troubles, tribulation, guaranteed for the Christian life. How about distress? Anybody ever have too many bills and not enough money? Amen. Or persecution. People, one day, we were out street preaching, and it was a Saturday evening. We were downtown, and that morning, God told me to fast. So, okay. So we get there, and I had my guitar, and some guy comes up and gets right in my face and slaps me in the eye. So I turned like this, and when I turned back to look at him, there was somebody else in between us telling that guy, you want to go at it? Let's go in the alley. Okay. Whatever. There was a little bit of a persecution, maybe. How about famine? We don't necessarily go through famines in this country, but there are many countries that do. How about nakedness? Most of us have plenty of clothes to wear. Some of the homeless people don't, it seems, but how about danger or sword? None of us, I don't think, have ever been confronted with a sword, but I did have a guy pull a knife on me one time, and then somebody else came to our rescue, took his belt off and hit the guy's hand with the knife. Then the police showed up and said, we just told the guy God loves him, and he pulled a knife on us. So, well, maybe you should leave some people alone, you know, use a little wisdom. It's okay, we'll do that. And it is written, this is from, I believe, the book of Psalms. For your sake, we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. If you're following any of the news, the Nigeria is the most populous nation in Africa. There's also probably the one nation where the most Christian persecution is going on. According to one report, over 7,000 Christians have been slaughtered in Nigeria this year alone. And why people hate so much is beyond me. Who will stop us from loving God? None of these things. And all these things, anybody ever have problems living for God? All these things, we are more than conquerors, or we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved and continues to love us. We overwhelmingly conquer because of Jesus. Amen. Nothing can separate us. We'll end up with these verses. I am sure, I am convinced, I am 100% persuaded. Neither death nor life, angels or rulers, and this is principalities, demonic rulers, and secular rulers, nor things present, nor things to come. This is interesting because if you ever read any of those disclosures about like when you download something and they got all these legal disclosures they have to put on there. It says, you know, you can't, this is copyrighted material, you can't use it, it's licensed. And even if some new system comes up where you can cheat and take it, you're still not going to be able to do that, and we'll come after you. Basically what they're saying. So Paul's giving us the disclaimers for living for God. Nothing can separate us. Things to come, some new invention, artificial intelligence, whatever, nor powers. This is another thing of demonic activity. Height nor depth, anything else in all of creation. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heard a pastor one time relating the story. He said there was a young lady in his church that started coming. She was married to a genuine mafioso. Mr. Mafioso came to his office one day, closed the door and locked it, and said, I'm going to kill you because my wife wants to live for God and I don't want her to live for God. And the pastor said, I looked him right in the eye and I said, you know what? I believe you can kill me. And I believe you will if you really did want to. But there's one thing you can never do. You cannot escape the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He said the man broke down in tears and prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. Things invented. In Christ, we have a position. In wartime, they had trenches. They have foxholes. They have armored vehicles, they have armored ships, they have bunkers. In the kingdom of God, we are in a bunker, so to speak, that the enemy cannot break through. Amen? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Because it's permanent. God loves us permanently. Can you say amen? No question about it. He proved it by giving us his son, by Jesus going to the cross. That's the proof. That's what proved it to me is when I read that in Romans chapter 5, it says, God proves or demonstrates his love this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly. And I knew that I was ungodly. Praise God. And when I read that, aha, I got convinced. Nothing can separate us. Fully persuaded. Fully convinced. I am sure. 100%. Actually, a quadrillion, infinity percent, whatever you want to call it. Convinced that nothing can separate us. Hallelujah.